Okay, tonight's topic is going to be about the atara that people place on the talis. Now, not only talking about the Chasidish minag or whatever minag, wherever it comes from, of having a silver atara, and certainly I'm sure people have seen that not only do some people have a silver atara on the top of the talis, sometimes people have a second silver line across the middle of the talis, but even just talking about the piece of cloth that most of us have on our talis, someone told me minag Chabad is not that way, that they don't have, but the Chabad they don't have. Okay, so where does it come from? Why is Minag Chabad not that way? Why is our Minag yes that way to have this this piece of cloth? Why do some people put silver? Is there any objection to this? So this is going to be the discussion for tonight. It can turn into a little bit more lumdish of a topic than it sounds like. So it's not like just pure tracing minhagim type of a topic. There is a Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos, in the 12th parak of Maseches Shabbos, where the Mishnah tells us Om Rabbi Yossi lo chivu shtei osios elamishum roshem shekaycha yukosven al krashe ha-mishkan. Why is it that one is in violation of a malacha when one writes shtei osios on Shabbos? Because they used to mark the boards of the Mishkan. They used to mark the boards of the Mishkan. Why would they mark the boards of the Mishkan? Shelo yachlifu seder ha-krashim. The Bartanura on the Mishnah explains so that they don't mix around the order of the krashim. The Gemara says that they shouldn't mix around the order of the krashim. Says the Yerushalmi on the spot, Vakimosa es haMishkan kimishpato, that the Mishkan should be erected kimishpato, like its justice. V'chiyesh mishpat le'etzim, what wood has a sense of justice? Ele'eza keresh zach li'inasin batzafon, inasin batzafon. Badarom, inasin badarom. It's not a sense of justice per se, it's a sense of what's right. And that the board of the Mishkan that was in the northern side of the Mishkan on one encampment of the Jewish people when it was taken apart and put back up, that same board had to still be in that same exact spot of the Mishkan, and that which was in the south had to be exactly in that same spot in the south, meaning they had to keep track of exactly where each board of the Mishkan was placed. And it's not only the Krashim, the Meshchachmas Medayik, that it's the Adonim as well, that the Adnei Kesef of the Mishkan had to be in a specific spot. Based on this Yerushalmi, the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tzitzis, Simen Ches, Sifkat and Vav writes, V'nagu laso satara mechatichas meshi l'simen sha'osan tzitzis shalafanav shi'uliyolam lafanav. That's where the idea of putting some sort of marker on the beged, on the top of the beged, came from, so that we could always know which is the top of the beged, because if you know which is the top of the beged, you will then know which tzitzis to put in front of you and which ones to put behind you, because the tzitzis that were zocha to be in the front should always be in the front. The tzitzis that were zocha to be in the back should always be in the back, just like the Krashei HaMishkan. And then he quotes, the Magen Avraham quotes, but not everyone agrees with this, he says, the Kasuv b'ksavim ha'ari lo haya makbid b'levisha satalus losum tamar al tzad echad kimo shenog in harbe, that the Ari was not makbid on this and to do it this way. And the discussion continues. Maybe if you have to be makbid, which side goes in front and which goes in back, that the same two tzitzios that go in front go in back, but you should also be makbid, the same ones go on the right and go on the left, so not to put on your tzitzis, not only not to put them on backwards, but not to put them on inside out either, because then there you're switching around the right and the left. And l'chora, all this is for a talis katan also, l'chora, that you should recognize which side is which. It seems that there are much fewer that have that minag by a talis katan to have a marker of where, if you have the V-neck, so then you know you follow the V, but if you have a round neck talis katan, so you have no idea which side is the front, which side is the back, and for some reason there doesn't seem to be such akpada by the talis katan like most people have by the talis gadol. Why? Because when you buy a talis gadol, most of them come like that, unless you know to buy a Chabad one, so most of them come like that. You buy a talis katan, they don't come like that, they don't come with any clear indication. But is that it? Is that the only explanation? We'll see. But the Shla Kadosh, which is the source over here that the Magen Avraham is based on, goes even a step further. So what do we have so far? We have the Yerushalmi that says that the boards of the Mishkan have to be kept in exactly the same place that they were. They should remain in that place. Then we expanded that. The Magen Avraham expanded that. Not only the boards of the Mishkan, tzitzis as well. That the same strings that were in front before should remain in front always. The ones that were in the back should remain in back. Comes along the Shlach HaKadosh and he says, "V'kasafti zeh lo'odiyah l'bnei adam ha'amonim she'enem yodim li'zoyer b'inyan anachas hatalos ro'i sha'osan tzitzil shabor rishona b'tzad rosh shili olam l'tzad rosh." He says this idea about the tzitzios being l'tzad rosh, "Kivan she'zachu li'os l'mayla ein ro'i she'yardu mimal lasan." If they were zoche, that's the lashon he used, they were zoche to be l'mayla, then they shouldn't be downgraded. And that's why we make an indicator on the beged, which is the top of the beged. And he brings the raya from the Yerushalmi, quotes the Yerushalmi about the boards of the Mishkan. And then he says, one step further, Shara'a sharabu ma'arash ha'yimisamin ha'dapin l'mechitzas ha'sukah. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Kedei Liros, Seder Amidasin, Shlo L'shanosin, Mishana L'shana. When I was a kid growing up, we had a wood sukkah, and the wood sukkah, the only way the screws were going to fit through those thick wood panels was if you had them in exactly the same spot as they were the year before. So we too marked off the numbers of the panels of the sukkah to know where to keep them. But now we have this fiberglass sukkah where it just, you know, locks in to whichever piece you lock it into, and you don't have to mark off exactly which piece is where in order to construct it. But says the Ma'aril, but you got to do it anyway, because that's what they did by the Mishkan, that's what we do with tzitzis, meaning essentially what the Shlach HaKadosh is suggesting is that this Yerushalmi is not telling us a din in the Mishkan, this Yerushalmi is telling us a din in any mitzvah that has a front, a back, a top, a bottom, different parts, different sides, it always has to stay that way. You're never allowed to shift the sides, switch things around. You're never allowed to do that. It reminds me a little bit of Shechter as in one of the Nefesh HaRavs from Nefesh HaRav, one of them, he has that maybe Divrei Rav, where there was a shul that wanted to switch the Ezra's Nashim and turn it into part of the men's section. I guess they were reconfiguring, or maybe they were kicking all the women out because the shul was growing. Whatever the situation was, they wanted to switch from the Ezra's Nashim to turn it into a men's section. So that would be no problem, right? But they also wanted to take a little piece of the men's section and turn it into an Ezra's Nashim. And Rav Salvechik held that there's Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is on a higher level in the place where you actually do all the laning and the davening and the Dvarim Shibbe Kedusha. So it has the fullest sense of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses and Malam B'Kodesh V'Lamaridin. So you can't just flip it around so easily. He held that you need to like sort of leave it, mark it off and just like leave it unpopulated for a little while, so now it's nothing. So and then you can go from nothing to making it an Ezra's Nashim. You can question the whole Cheshbin, but that's what it reminds me of a little bit. That you can't just flip things around. But yeah, by the Mishkan, maybe by Beis HaKnesses, but the Shlach HaKadosh expands this to tzitzis, to talis, to all these other areas as well. So what we have to do over here is figure out whether... now, obviously, the Arizal rejects this expansion. The Arizal says there's no such inyan. It doesn't have to be front, back, doesn't make a difference where your tzitzis are, and that's why he did not support the idea of putting a piece of cloth on one end of the talis to mark it off. But what we have to figure out is there some sort of deeper halacha over here, and does it make sense? Does it make sense to apply a din of the krashim of the Mishkan to all other cheftza shel mitzvah, all other types of tashmishe mitzvah, things that we use for a mitzvah? So there are several poskim that say it doesn't make any sense to apply the principle of malim b'kodesh vein maridin to tashmishe mitzvah at all, because malim b'kodesh vein maridin is exactly that, malim b'kodesh vein maridin. Tashmishe mitzvah are not tashmishe kedusha. The Mishkan has Kedusha, Mikdash has Kedusha. Mm-hmm. What do you do with a beged of a talis that's worn out? You throw it out. You can discard it if it's no longer usable as for its mitzvah. It gets worn out, gets ripped. You can get it discarded. It no longer has its Kedusha. That's what do you do with an old sukkah that's not usable anymore? You throw it out, and that's perfectly fine because it's not Tashmishe Kedusha. It doesn't retain its level of Kedusha. It's Tashmishe Mitzvah. So who says this? Two Gedolei Aposkim both make this point. The Marsham in the Tshuvin, Chelek Beisim and Lamed Tes, not going to read it in Cyber, it's in the bottom paragraph on page number one, and also the Bikuri Yaakov in Aruch Chaim, Simin Tav Reish Lamed, that the Bikuri Yaakov says, Eino Dome Klal La Yerushalmi. By the Mishkan, Litzafon Yesh Kedusha Yoser, Shekachim Nishchatim Litzafon. You understand why the northern side of the Mishkan is holier than the southern side, because that's where the Kachikachim are Shechted. And the Shulchan is Bitzafon, and the Dorum has its own type of Kedusha, because the menorah is Bidarum, like we did in the Daf recently, Harotzalahach Gimyadrim, Harotzalahashi Yatzbin. You face different ways depending on what you're interested in achieving with your tefillah. But by Tzitzis and the Ruchos HaSukkah, yeah, which side of the Sukkah would be considered a downgrade? To go from which side to which wall would be considered a downgrade, or an upgrade for that matter? Does it make a difference? Which side of your Tzitzis are holier than the other side of your Tzitzis? Doesn't make a difference. It's all dalakanfos. You have tzitzis. They're all the same. It's not. It doesn't make a difference. So he says. First of all, the idea is that there is no single part that is more kedusha than the other. And furthermore, says the Aruch Lener, the whole Inyan is only an Inyan by Tashmishe Mitzvah, it's not by Tashmishe Kedusha, not by Tashmishe Mitzvah. This whole Malam B'Chodesh L'Moridin doesn't make any sense for Tashmishe Kedusha. And L'Chora, therefore, it would seem that the Arizal is a very good point. Now, what's the point of putting this cloth on the tat? It doesn't make a difference which way you put it, which side you put it on. However, Rav Vadia writes in the Tshuva that he's not sure that this is such a clear-cut rule. I mean, what's this rule that the Marsham and the Bikuri Yaakov are suggesting? It's only by Tashmishe Kedusha that we say Malam B'Kodesh L'Moridin, but not by Tashmishe Mitzvah. So we'll do a little exercise here. Think back to the very first time in your life you ever heard of the concept of Malam B'Kodesh L'Moridin. So that's a hard thing to do. When was the first time I ever heard the concept? I can guarantee you, as soon as I say, you'll know, yeah, that's definitely the first time I ever heard the concept of Malam B'Kodesh L'Moridin. It was probably around the fifth or sixth grade. It was the first time you ever heard the concept of Malam B'Kodesh, which is very early for a Talmudic concept. Me'echi Teisi, you're going to learn all these Talmudic concepts. You know why? Because you learned about the Yom Tovim. It probably even came before the 5th or 6th grade. You learned about all the Yom Tovim, and you learned about Chanukah. And someone, some Rebbe, some Moru was teaching you how to light the Neros Chanukah, and that you add a candle each night. And one of the things that they teach you, depending on how advanced the level you are, at whatever age it was, but it was pretty young, one of the things that they teach you is that the sheet of Beis Hillel, of lighting an additional candle each night, there are two explanations in the Gemara as to why we do that, right? Yaman Chas and Yaman Yotzin, but the other explanation is Malin Bekodesh Velo Maridin. That's why we light an additional candle each night. So Neros Chanukah, Tashmishe Kedusha or Tashmishe Mitzvah? How do you measure? How do you know? What's called Tashmishe Kedusha? What's called Tashmishe Mitzvah? So Rav Shachter has a piece in Eretz HaTzvi in Simin Yud Beis where he explains very clearly and very compellingly that, you know, if you look at the list in the Sugya Megillah of Tashmishe Kedusha, what's on the list? Tefillin, mezuzah, you know, things of that nature. Those are Tashmishe Kedusha. Tashmishe Mitzvah, you have sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis. So what's the difference between, on the one hand, tefillin, mezuzah, sefer Torah cover, kisshel tefillin, the tefillin bag, versus lulav, shofar, tzitzis, sukkah? So Soloveitchik pointed out, the former list all relates to ksav shel Torah. Every item on that list has actual Torah writing associated with it. That's Kedusha Atzma. Kedusha Atzma is Torah. Is actual ksav shel Torah. You have cloth, you have ink, you have actual ksav shel Torah. Anything that's mishamish the ksav shel Torah, the boxes of the tefillin, the bag of the tefillin, that's tashmishe kedusha. But something that has no connection to ksav shel Torah, that's what we would call tashmishe mitzvah. A sukkah, a lulav, shofar, tzitzis, no connection to ksav shel Torah, that's what we call tashmishe mitzvah. Halacha is tashmishe mitzvah la'achar zman mitzvasan, nizrakin, you can get rid of them. tashmishi kedusha liachas man mitzvasan nignazin. You have to put them in genizi. You put them in shemus. They don't. You can't just discard them like you can tashmishi mitzvah. So ask Rav Avadi Yosef, ner Chanukah. Now that we know the hagdara, ner Chanukah, the shemen, the psilos, tashmishi mitzvah or tashmishi kedusha. So it's a double pashut. Right, this is Tashmishei Mitzvah. It's textbook Tashmishei Mitzvah. It's clearly not Tashmishei Kedusha. So Rav Avadia suggests, Isbu Srach Kedusha, because it's a Zechel Nero Shel Beis HaMikdash. Anything in the Beis HaMikdash, we talk about Kedusha, because there's Kedusha HaMikdash. That Kedusha HaMikdash may emanate, Rav Shachter writes in that same piece, that it probably emanates from the presence of the Aron, so it all does start with Ksav Shel Torah, but anything that has kedusha in the mikdash is actual kedusha. That is actual definite kedusha. So since the menorah we light, even though for us it's really only tashmishi mitzvah, but it's a zecher to the menorah's hamikdash, so therefore we treat it as if it has rules of tashmishi kedusha, even though it's not really tashmishi kedusha. And he says, and that's why we say in haneros halalu kodesh heim. What do you mean Kodesh Hashem? That's not true. They're Tashmishei Mitzvah. They're not Tashmishei Kedusha. No, but they're reminiscent of Neros that in fact were Kodesh Hashem, that in fact were Kedusha. Okay, maybe yeah, maybe no. Then Rav Avadia says, I have another raya though, that this applies even to Tashmishei Mitzvah, not just Tashmishei Kedusha, this idea of Malam Kodesh. When one ties Tcheles and Lavan, a person needs both Tcheles strings and Lavan strings, and when one ties, so in Menachos, Tav Lamites, it says that the first wraparound, and this no matter how you tie, there are so many different shitas about how to tie, if you're going to tie Tcheles, and I just got an email about 20 minutes ago from someone asking exactly how they should be tying their strings. I get that email a couple of times a week usually from different people that are buying tchelis. So when you tie, one thing that everyone agrees is that the first wrap has to be white, and then after that, sometime after that, question whether the first three wraps have to be white, the first one wrap, the first section, whatever it is, something's, it's got to start with white, and then afterwards it shifts to blue. Why? Why does it start with white and then shift to blue? Malin b'kodesh ve'in moridin. Malin b'kodesh ve'in moridin. Says Rav Avadia, that's not Tashmishi Kedusha. This is Mamish Tzitzis. It's one of the examples of Tashmishi Mitzvah. And yet we say Malin b'kodesh ve'in moridin. So Rav Avadia says, you know, sometimes Chazal will use an expression. Doesn't necessarily mean, the Ravid writes like this, that sometimes you'll have the same word in two different places and it means different things. Even though it's the same exact word. What we're doing in Daf Yomi right now, the third parak of Baba Basra, the word chazaka in Shas means about five or six different things that have nothing to do with each other. I mean, not at all similar to each other. They mean completely different things. It could be a form of kinyan that one makes on karka. It could be possession. It could be a ruba de lasa kaman. There could mean any number of different things, even though it's the same word. That's just the way Chazal works sometimes. Sometimes you may have different words that actually mean the same exact thing, but they're different words. So Rav Shachter pointed out that the computers have not yet caught up. You know, there will be artificial intelligence. Maybe one day they'll be able to chop this. But the Bar-Ilan search will not do it yet. To be able to figure out when you're searching for a word, when it means the same thing and when it means different things. So he said, maybe it's a melitza. You know, when we talk about it in terms of tcheles, we're saying that, look, we like to build up to something more, but not that it's a technical malim b'kodesh ve'in moridin, because it's not really kodesh. And then he suggests that maybe the idea of malim b'kodesh ve'in moridin does apply to tashmishi mitzvah, but only when it's still the zman mitzvah. Now that's an interesting suggestion, because we had two applications of that Yerushalmi that we started with. The Yerushalmi said, don't switch around the boards of the Mishkan. So what were the two extensions of that? We had the Magen Avraham extending it to the sides of the tzitzis, and we had the Shloah Kadosh, in the name of the Maril, extending it to the Sukkah from year to year. Now, the sides of the tzitzis, it's still the Zman Mitzvah. It's always the Zman, as long as the Beged's still good, it's still the Zman Mitzvah. Sukkis, the sukkah, after sukkis is over, it's done. It's not the Zman Mitzvah anymore. So the second answer of Avadia would help explain why to apply this idea of Malim B'Kodesh by Tzitzis would not do such a great job of explaining why we would apply it when it comes to sukkah. The Rabbi Abadi has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph of his tshuvas, because it turns out I only have Chelek Aleph of his tshuvas. So I was quoting Chelek Beis the other week, and Gabali had to tell me that no, you weren't. So in the Chelek Aleph of his tshuvas, Rabbi Abadi has a tshuva where he tries to show that if you look carefully in Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like in the Beis Yosef, in the name of the Ravid, in Hilchas Tzitzis, it sounds like a talus has some sort of kedusha. That there is some idea of Kedusha to one side of the Beged or another, or some idea of Kedusha in the Talis itself. Now, to make such an argument is extremely difficult, because when the Gemara gives an example of Tashmishei Mitzvah rather than Tashmishei Kedusha, Tzitzis is one of the examples of Tashmishei Mitzvah. But Rabbi Abadi says he's trying to demonstrate that it's not so, but he demonstrates that it's not so by first showing the argument that it would be so. What's the argument that it would be so? So he quotes Beis Yosef in the name of the Ravid, and it appears in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Chaf Aleph, that Talithos Shel Mitzvah Shabalu. What happens if you have a worn out talis? So says the Shulchan Aruch, or the Ravid, Adam Bodel Atzma Mehem, a person doesn't use them anymore. Ve'eino mutter lekaneach atzmo mehem. Bahem. What does that mean? Eino mutter lekaneach atzmo mehem. Can't use it as like, you know, a shmata to wipe your brow or to clean yourself in any other way. Ve'lo liyachiro sam letashma shamaguna. Don't use them for something disgusting. Don't use them as a mat to wipe your feet on when you walk in the house. Don't cut it up and make toilet paper out of it. Don't use it as handkerchiefs. Don't use it as something disgusting. Elazarkan vein kolin, you throw them out, and eventually they'll completely wear out. They'll biodegradable or whatever. So Rabbi Abadi just points out, now it's clear they're not Tashmishei Kedusha. That's clear from the whole presentation. Because A, like we said, it's Beferish that way in the examples that the Brisa gives of Tashmishei Mitzvah. But aside from that, Shulchan Aruch is saying you should throw it out and just wait till it destroys itself. But it does imply that there's something, that there's some sort of chashivas to the Beged of Tzitzis, because it's telling you what not to do with them. It's telling you that you have to be careful, that it's eino mutter lekaneach atzmo behem, that it's usur to, well, why is it usur? It's totally worn out. It's not usable. It's tashmisha mitzvah. Liachar zman mitzvah san. So why is it not mutter lekaneach? So Rabbi Abadi points out that if you look in the older editions, the older printings of the Shulchan Aruch, the girsa is a little bit different. It didn't say eino mutter lekaneach atzmo behem. It said ve'eino rotze lekaneach atzmo behem. There's a big difference. Eino mutter means that it's usher, that it's a technical isser. Eino rotze means that who would want to do that? You take your tzitzis and use it as toilet paper? You know, granted, it can't be used as tzitzis anymore. It's totally worn out, you know? And my kids have this incredible capacity to go through tzitzis and like completely, utterly destroy them in like a very short amount of time. So okay, so you look at the tzitzit, you say, okay, no one's ever going to wear this for a mitzvah anymore. But still, it doesn't pass that you're going to use it for something disgusting. Eino rotze, that's what he's suggesting, that it's a tashmish maguna. And even if one wanted to argue that there is some sort of kedusha over here, that malam b'kodesh by the tzitzis, It's very hard to argue that any side of the tzitzis should have any more kedusha than any other side of the tzitzis. Why should the front of the tzitzis have more kedusha than the back of the tzitzis? So this is Shri Deish says, he said he's not sure that by the Mishkan that's what it was about either. Meaning, Keresh Shanasan B'Tzafon Nitan B'Darim, and the B'Darim has to stay in the Darim. Well, wait a second. If the Tzafon was more holy, because that's where Kachakachim were eaten, so let's say one of the boards in the north got worn out, got ruined or something. Why couldn't they take one of the ones from the south and move it to the north? No, the one that was in the south has to stay in the south. Why? Why does it have to stay in the south? Upgrade it. Upgrade it to the north. But apparently Yerushalmi doesn't allow for that either. So there are two ways you can go with that. You could say there are different kedushas. You know, the south has a kedusha of the menorah, which is its own unique kedusha. We don't want to rob it of its kedusha. But Pashup Pshat is Yerushalmi is not telling us the din of Malam B'Kodesh. What the Yerushalmi is telling us is that there's something about keeping mitzvos where they are, meaning about not moving things around in terms of something's role in a mitzvah. Now, where that halacha comes from, I don't know, but apparently, I mean, the Mishkan, but I don't know where we find that, like why that would be an issue, But it's not only about Malam B'Kodesh L'Muridin, it's just about moving things around, that apparently for some reason you're not allowed to move things around. But even if you accept that, even if you say that there is such halacha, that you're not allowed to move things around in the mitzvah, so I can't move the board of my son from this side to that side, or I can't move the boards of the Mishkan from one side to the other side, it's still a stretch to apply it to a talis. Because by a talis, you're not, there aren't components and parts. It's one beged. So how far do you take this? You know, if I wear my beged a little more down this way or a little more down that way, have I moved it around? You know, what exactly is the definition of moving something? It's one thing if you're taking you're displacing something. You're taking something that was there and you're switching it out for something else. But when you're dealing with a singular unit and it's just a matter of how you're angling that unit, it's unclear. It doesn't seem as obvious that that's called this violation, whatever this violation is. I was very gratified to see that svara appears in the tshuvas of Rav Menashe Klein, in the Mishnah Halachos. On the top of page 3, I quote his lashon. He has an interesting raya. It's an unusual raya, but he often does. He says as follows. In the third line, Ibra, d'luchara nira, mimadi yisav b'medrash uva barashi ala pasuk. He says, let me tell you, based on a medrash that you all know, Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom v'yasa mirashosav v'yishkov b'makom ahu, that Yaakov Avinu takes from the avnei ha'makom and he puts it by his head and he goes to sleep, and then ubesamuch vayikach es ha'even asher samirashosav, he takes the even. So what do Chazal say? Asan k'min marziv savul rosho sheyarim bnei chayos ros. So he put these rocks around his head to protect him from the animals. Hischilo merivo zuazu zosameres alayaniach tzadikas rosho zosamerechas alayaniach. Each one was fighting. I want the tzadik to put his head on my, on me, I know, on me. Miyad asan k'rosh baruch hu evenachas. So Hashem turned them into one rock. V'zeo sham rivika chasev nesosamereshosav. So says Rav Menashe Klein, have a kasha. So he made this giant stone bed instead of a bunch of stones, each of which would have been large enough to put his head. So now he's putting his whole body on this giant stone bed. So his feet are somewhere, his head is somewhere, and the middle of his body is somewhere. So why is that okay? Eladal karchach kivin shevnachasu einaf gamin ahechash miniach rosho. Since it's one stone, it doesn't make a difference where he puts his head. It's only when you're taking a board and removing it from one place to the other. But a kerish shezachsel tzafon enaf kaminim yafcheu v'yatzad zel tzad zeshel tzafon ulmashel tzad echad nirshom echad v'tzad sheni beiz u'shnei mitzad tzafon, meaning even within the tzafon doesn't really make a difference if you flip it around or do something like that. That's not going to matter within a single item. You don't have to love the raya. I don't particularly love the raya. I don't think it's the greatest raya in the world, because the kasha is not a kasha. So, but the svara to be mechalik between when you're moving around different parts versus a single part, I think is a reasonable svara.
That would come out that there's a reason to be machmir by sukkah, not by talis.
It would come out that there's a reason to be machmir by sukkah, right? But not by talis. Yeah. So now let's move on to sukkah. This idea that the Ma'aril says by sukkah, so Rabbi Abadi goes to town on it. He is not happy at all about the sukkah idea. And he writes in Chuvasar Yitzchak Chel Galv Simen Tes, is right under the heading Mechitzos HaSukkah, in the second line after that, Vizel HaShono, here's what Rabbi Abadi writes. Afar ani tachas kapos raglav, I acknowledge that the Ma'aril is a little greater than I am. V'yafali ashtika, so maybe I should be quiet. But I just can't contain myself. Do mechitzos of a sukkah have some sort of kedusha that I don't know about after sukkahs, that you're not allowed to use it for other purposes? You could use your mechitzos sukkah for whatever you want after sukkahs. As if like the kedusha comes back because you want to use them again. Sorech iyun, he says. V'oda shalchan, he says, and I have another kasha. V'odieni, he says, you tell me. He's writing in a tshuva. You don't really get to talk to him, but he says, you tell me. Hara'isa me'olam la'eza adam she'yedaktik b'schach she'mishtamish bo'mishana l'shana sh'lo yishana seder amidasa. Did you ever see anyone careful to place the schach in exactly the order and exactly the side and the, you know, the sukkah that he added on the last year? Al gago sukkah for a schach u'ayikr yosem in a mechitzos. If you really want to know what really makes a sukkah, it's the first Rashi, Masech HaSukkah, al shema schach kruya sukkah. It's because of the schach. Va'od yesh lavin be'ezet sad yesh bo yoser kedusha. And also, so which is the holy side of the sukkah? We have, there's no side of the sukkah that's holier than any other side of the sukkah. What?
The schach is.
Yeah, but which is the, if you're going to say this halacha that you can't move around the walls from this side to that side, so which side can't you move the wall from? So Rav Vadia thought of all these kashas, and Rav Vadia writes in his tshuva, "V'tzarech lomar she'inza ele derech hidur mitzvah." Usmach bialma, v'lo shiye b'zeh shum k'pei de medina. It's interesting, you know. Instead of answering the kashi, he just said he didn't really mean it. You know, it was a stam, nice thing to have consistency in your life. So you try to keep things consistent. Mishumach ilok bide b'zeh ba'atzei sukkah, and that's like the Bikur Yaakov. Essentially, Rav Avadia says, yeah, if you take that ma'aril too seriously, then in a chinami. These are all strong kashas, but probably stam. It's just a nice thing, but it doesn't have it. There's no kiyum. There's no certainly no chiyum. There's not. Now, by something that is no longer usable as a mitzvah, that lechora everyone would agree that you're allowed to flip around and use it for something else. In Minchas Yitzchak in the Tshuva writes about a talus that's worn out on one side or that's torn on one side. So you want to, I don't know how flipping it around will help, but somehow flipping it around will help. So he says in that case where it's otherwise going to be unusable, then he thinks that there's no problem. Now the idea of applying this to sukkah, though, of applying this idea, you know, and where's the kedusha of the sukkah? I thought that maybe the Maril was speaking bedavka about sukkah. You know, maybe it wasn't about just some random collection of mitzvos that he's just saying, you know, randomly that you have to keep everything exactly where it is. Maybe he was talking only about sukkah. You know, sukkah is mesamel on a certain to a certain degree. The Beis HaMikdash, and anything that represents. Maybe that's what Avadi means also. Simana bialma. We say in sukkahs, what do we add into benching? Harachman yakim lanu, as sukkahs David on a fellas. What kind of sukkah did David have? He had a beautiful sukkah? No, what's that? And we want it rebuilt so badly? David's sukkah? What are we talking about when we say yakim lanu, as sukkahs David on a fellas? We're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. The sukkah on some level represents the Mikdash. What level exactly, I don't know, but on some level, it's Tzilu Demnusa, the Hashras Hashchina, on some level it represents the Beis HaMikdash. I'm sure there are people that could talk much more intelligently about that idea than I can. But maybe that's where the Maril is coming from. Not that it's a Chiyuv, not that it's a, you know, a Malim B'Kodesh, but that if there was such a din that existed by the Krashei HaMishkan, so it's mistaver to apply that din to the sukkah, very similar to the reason that Rav Avadia says is why we apply it by the Neros Chanukah. That's a zecher to the Neros of the Mikdash. Is it the Neros of the Mikdash? No. This is a zecher to the Mikdash itself. Is it the Mikdash itself? No, and that's why it's not a din. But it's an idea that just like they did this with the Mishkan, so too we should have the same thing over here. I'm going to skip around a little bit because I want to make sure we get back to the talus because we haven't really touched the idea of silver and anything like that yet. There are two other possibilities of why one would put something nice on the top of their talus. So far, we only had one possibility. So you can know which way is up, right? Just to know which way, so that you will have the tzitzis in front always be in front and tzitzis in back always be in back. The Aruch HaShulchan says that there's a much more practical reason why they would put an extra cloth on one side of the talus, because most of your talus is around your body, and on your body you normally have other clothing between your skin and the talus, so the talus is not going to get all that sweaty or anything like that. But when you put it over your head, which is the derech to do at different parts of the davening, put the talus over your head, you often do not have much else on your head to really protect the talus from sweat, from the oil of your hair, from anything else that might you know, if it's an emotional tefillah from one's tears or from anything else that might get. So it's natural that the head of the talis gets worn out more quickly than the rest of the talis. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, so they had a minhag that they put an extra piece of cloth by the top of the talis to catch the sweat and to give it a little more durability. And he said, so the umimela nasa heker gamkein. So once they did that, so mele it also became a heker. But that wasn't the yikr, says the Aruch HaShulchan. The yikr was just purely practical in nature. Not the most satisfying reason, but that's what the Aruch HaShulchan suggests is where it really came from. You'll notice on a lot of talisos, there actually is, on the whole upper section, it's a double. There's an extra piece of material there. So we do that too. A third reason, though, l'chora, is probably what we would have, you know, if the topic would not just be about the piece of cloth, but about a silver atara, so everyone would say right away, why do you have a silver atara? Hidur mitzvah. Right? To have a hidur. And so Rabbi Abadi happens to not buy it, but we'll see why in a moment. But Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asher, and again, thank you, Yoni, for the Maramakom, suggests that this is, in fact, a hidur mitzvah. He quotes the Chuvas Eretz Tzvi. The Eretz Tzvi was the Kazhik lover of Ari Tzvi Fromer, who was a Rashiva in Chachmei Lublin. And the Eretz Tzvi quotes the Shita of Rashi, that there's a hidur, you know, the Gemara says, to have a tzitzis na'a. Right, so Rashi says, talis na'a, it means to have a nice talis. So why a nice talis? It should be a nice tzitzis. What do you mean nice talis? The mitzvah is a tzitzis. The talis is just the beged you happen to be wearing, and it happens to have four corners, so it's chayiv and tzitzis, but the mitzvah is the tzitzis. So what's this idea of a talis na'a? So he says, for example, the way Rav Ari Tzvi Fromer, he was very sharp, Rav Ari Tzvi Fromer, the way he asked the kasha, he says, you know, you're supposed to have a mezuzah, right? Beautiful mezuzah. Elamai, you don't have a chiv mezuzah unless you have a house. If there's no house, there's nowhere to put the mezuzah. So when you're buying a mezuzah, you should have to be makbid about two things. First of all, be makbid that the mezuzah be very nice. You should also be makbid that the house be very nice. You should make sure to get the nicest, biggest house in Back Lawrence or in Beverly Hills or whatever, and so that the mezuzah will be a hidur in the mezuzah, because you only chayv in the mezuzah once you have a house, so the house should be mehudar. Isn't that the same exact thing with the tzitzis and the talis? Well, who says the talis not? The talis not is the eichi timtza to be able to put the strings on. That's Rav Ari Tzvi Fromer's kasha. So Rav Asher says, look there for what he answers. He has a whole pupulsha answer. Rav Asher says, l'didi pshitali. He says, I think it's correct. My answer is correct. He was just talking today. I was by Rav Asher today, and he said, at one point he said, you know, we do have to be open to the possibility that the Minchas Asher might sometimes be wrong. So usually not, but sometimes. So he says, l'didi pshitali. He says, it's obvious to me the following. The geder hanoi behidur mitzvah yisodo b'siachsus b'nei adam. How do we define what's called a hidur to the mitzvah? Do people look at that as a hidur to the mitzvah? Does anyone walk into a beautiful house and say, wow, you're being mekayim mezuzah in the most magnificent way? No one even thinks of the mezuzah in the beautiful house. I mean, it might be a beautiful mezuzah, and they'll look at the mezuzah, or the mezuzah cover or something, and say it's a beautiful mezuzah case. But no one thinks of the house as far as the hidur mezuzah. But if someone has a beautiful talis, they say, ah, they're doing the mitzvah in the most beautiful way. And there's a reason that we're misyaches to it in that way. There's an obvious reason that we're misyaches to it in that way. Because we only wear a talis for the mitzvah. We live in a house because we don't like to be cold in the winter and hot in the summer and get rained on in the nighttime. And, you know, so and we want someone to want to stay married to us. So we live in the house. So we have a house. There's practical benefits to having a house. There's no practical benefit to having a talis nowadays. So nowadays, it makes sense that you'd be mahadir the beged itself. And that's what we do. So we're mahadir the beged itself. And then Rav Asher says, "Va'onir leni yestaiti, de be'emes gama talis havi cheftza de mitzvah mamish." He says the talis is a cheftza shel mitzvah. How do I know that? He says, "Kashem shabshatnes havi kol beged klayim al deichut echad shel tzemer." When you have one strand of tzemer of wool in a linen beged, how much of the beged is shatnes? The entire beged is now shatnes. The whole rest of the beged is linen. One strand of wool. Do you just say, oh no, there's that one problematic area? No, the entire beged becomes shatnes. So when you put tzitzis on a beged, the entire beged becomes a talis. It becomes a tzitzis shel mitzvah. And the Raya, he says, is the Maral and Gor Aryeh quotes, I thought it was a Gemara, but that Klal Yisrael Zachu b'nei Yisrael b'zchus shomer Avraham Avinu michut v'atzroch nal, they were zocha tzitzis. Ulital zachu b'zchus shem v'yefes shakisu b'simlas erves aviyam k'mo shakasav Rashi parshas Noach. Yeah, so the Maral, I guess, makes this ha'ara, that Rashi says that there are two separate zechuyos. There's the zechus of the tzitzis. Where do we get that? Michud v'atzroch nal, that's Avraham Avinu by the Melech Sodom. And then there's the zechus of the talis. Where do we get the zechus of the talis? Shem and yefes covering over Noah. What's the zechus of a talis? The talis is a piece of clothing. It's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is a tzitzis. No, elamai, you see that the talis is part of the mitzvah. So there's a din of hider even in the beged itself. And therefore, an atara, a nice, beautiful atara, is a hidur to that mitzvah. So that's a third possibility of where this idea comes from, of being of making an atara, that it should be some sort of hidur mitzvah. Rav Asher has a whole diyun. What if you have a one talis with a beautiful atara and another talis without a beautiful atara? So what should you say? Should you always wear the one with the beautiful atara because you're being mahadir the mitzvah? Or should you say, no, save that for Shabbos and use the other one for during the week? This way you can be mechabit Shabbos. So he has a whole deal, and he says that Rav Yecheskel Sarna asked the sons of Rav about this, and he said, I think Rav Asher says that he forgot what his answer was, but he says, but Rav Asher says, I think gadol mitzvahs kavod Shabbos mihid the mitzvah bialma. The kavod Shabbos have a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. He says kavod Shabbos is his own separate kiyum mitzvah. So kavod, if you have to measure one against the other, kavod Shabbos is a greater kiyum than a hidur within tzitzis. It's a greater kiyum to do an actual kavod Shabbos. That we darshan that the Shulchan Aruch paskins al yei mabusho shel Shabbos k'ma busho shel chol. So when you have a talis mechubedes dafka for Shabbos, you're actually being mekayim a real mitzvah of kavod Shabbos. So what's the downside? Why not? I mean, why not make it atara? The Arizal was against it. He didn't like. Why not? Why not make it atara? We have these three reasons. Yes. Okay. So the first reason, to make sure the tzitzis in front, that we stay in front, the ones in the, so maybe that doesn't resonate with you. Second reason, a practical reason for the schwitzing. I'm sure the Arizal would have no problem with that either, if that's what your intention is. And the hidur mitzvah, the third reason, okay, so maybe it's not a hidur mitzvah, maybe it's just a beggar. But what's the downside? So the Levush quotes a halacha, and this is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. There used to be a type of beged that was essentially a hat or a wrapping around the head, some type of turban, that the ends would rest down on a person's shoulders and neck. And the halach is, and it had four corners, that beged. And the halach is, it's patur from tzitzis. Because it's clearly be'ikar ala rosh. So since the ikar of it is on the rosh, it's a hat. It's not a beged. Aye, but it also covers your shoulders, whatever else. Yeah, it just happens to do that. So the Levush raises the issue that one might say, if a person has his beautiful silver atara on his head, and the rest of the beged is just plain, and nothing special on it, that this is just like that hat. That it's covering, primarily it's covering his head, and everything else just happens to be hanging down. And then it's not chayiv in tzitzis, and every bracha is a bracha levatala. So the Levush mentions this as a way of saying, don't worry about it, it's not the same. When you have an atara on your head, it's not, everyone still realizes that the be'ikr, it's covering your body, and the atara is just to cover your head, let's snusa or whatever, but don't worry about it. But he does raise this as an issue, and that's probably where it came from, the idea. Someone came up with the chap to address that concern of putting the extra piece of silver in the middle of the beged. So now the whole thing is equal chashivas. The whole thing is so ornate that it has equal chashivas. The Aruch HaShulchan just says he finds it weird that he doesn't use that word, but pretty much he does. He says, Malik kesef zav etzel talis. What does kesef zav talis, what does that have to do with it? Who wears begadim like that? You know, and this is not our style of clothing to wear something like that. And then Rabbi Abadi piles on, and he says, you're being matil kina beinenu. You know, two guys davening shul. One guy has this most beautiful atara that is new shver. You know, the shver. He's newly married, bought him this beautiful atara, and the other guy doesn't have a shver who bought him a beautiful atara, and they're gonna start comparing, and it's not a good thing to be matil kina. And he says, why would you make something silver out of something that's clearly only there as a heker bialma to know which side is up? So that's what you turn into silver. That's what you're going to spend your money on. Something that's just a hecker to know which side is up. He's assuming that's all it is, to know which side is up. Not like Rav Ash says that it's a hiddur in the begin itself. And obviously, if it's just for Zaya, then it doesn't make any sense at all. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, if that's your family minog, go with it. And he says, Rav Moshe writes, not my family minog, so I'm not going to go with it. But I'm sure there are many people that this is their family minog. I think it's hifriz al amida to say that a person should remove it and should not have it. It's not a big deal. Yes, yes, no, no. It all works. The ikar is a person should make sure to be mahadir in the midst of tzitzis in whatever way he knows how, according to his traditions.